emotions were less likely to get sick, and the same occurred for people whose happiness was intentionally boosted before the exposure to the virus. So they looked at that, and right away you can see that in the physical and the mental is all connected. So even just getting over a flu, the way that you deal with that illness is affected by how you feel. And happiness is one of those things that tells a big difference. We're responsible for the connection. There are a few different theories of why happiness benefits health. One is that positive emotions lead to positive behaviors. Changes such as exercise, better sleep, a nutritious diet, supportive relationships, and coping skills. And another is that positive emotions function to decrease stress and harmful toil on our body itself. So all of those kind of things are related to why, you know, just having a good feeling, being happy, can just alter the way that we deal with disease processes in our bodies and in our life. Can happiness cure disease? There's no evidence that a happiness intervention can cure an illness or speed total recovery, but positive psychology interventions can help reduce symptoms of depression. They can also help in health and life satisfaction. So a big part of life is not just longevity, but how do you spend your time in life? How do you feel about each day that you live? And that's what really makes life a wonderful thing. You want it to be pleasant, you want it to be happy, you want to be in good health. And that's where it's all really wrapped up together. So how does health affect happiness? Health and happiness broadly overlap, but there are some narrow ways in which health can also boost well-being. Foods that we consume, the exercises we do, and the diseases we face play a role in all of this. Does health lead to happiness? Well, there are various theories that look at that. Some research suggests that people take better care of themselves. They come to feel happier. Some research suggests that people who are healthier just have more positive outlook. And still, other research suggests that there is an underlying factor such as genetics or personality that contribute to both. People also wonder too, and I always tell people, especially patients that suffer from depression, that things like exercise can really improve your mood. And that's because things like exercise produce endorphins and enkephalins that are hormones inside of our body. Happy feeling, it also, those hormones, when they're released, they can actually help to relieve pain and boost pleasure. So these chemicals are responsible for feelings of being high. Exercise also shifts our focus away from current concerns and damaging self-talk and leads us to spending more time with others and outdoors. So you can see how this is a cycle of just health and wellness, basically, because if you're feeling better, you want to do more activity, and activity is better for your health. So it's all intertwined. Can certain foods boost happiness? Yes. More and more research is looking at the important relationship between the foods that we eat, our gut, and our brain. Certain foods can strengthen the gut microbes that support mental health. And these are like fish, those that are high in omega-3 fatty oils, vegetables, which are really, really high in fiber. And what is the emotion? And then I have like a little guest on the side of me, and they're saying stuff like ice cream, you know, that is stuff that just really makes them happy. So maybe that's the one for you. The not too much ice cream, but yeah, maybe a little ice cream will make you happy, and it might make you feel better in the things that you do. So, but the ones that we have here that we've studied are things like fish, high in omega fatty oils, as well as our vegetables, which are really, really high. As we know, the gut is really connected to all the different organs in some way, because our nutrients come through our gut, and that's really the place that disease either stops or starts. So what about the emotional toll of chronic disease? So chronic disease and chronic pain especially can take a heavy toll on someone's well-being. If you're in a lot of pain, or you have a chronic disease and you're constantly having to deal with that, people may struggle with that, and you know, that might bring negativity into their life. It makes it harder for them to navigate the healthcare system for treatment. They may be fearful of how their life will change in terms of their relationships. It might be financial issues that are actually causing, you know, just to have a negative outlook on life. And they may grieve for parts of their life that they've lost, you know. And so how can we be happy despite having a chronic illness? This is a really interesting topic because here you are with already an illness, you know. How do you still find yourself to be happy? Because you remember happiness does lead to decreased inflammation and stress and stuff like that. So how do we do that? So people dealing with ongoing illnesses can practice self-compassion. So be compassionate for yourself. Start there. Mindfulness, equanimity, and to help manage their happiness and mental health. And it's really important if you're feeling a particular way to reach out to your provider, someone who is supportive, and just talk about your feelings and make sure that people are aware how you are. Because sometimes all we need is physical, you know, touch and socialization and talk to people, because there might be other people that are going through those things, or there might be some way to help. You know, I have some patients that have dealt with chronic pain. And so when we the right management to give them relief, the quality of life really, really changes. And, you know, it brings some of that happiness back when they're able to do certain things. I had a gentleman who was dealing with chronic pain due to arthritis. And one of his big concerns was, you know, that he was always in this pain and he wanted to go on this trip with his church members. And, you know, I was just like, you know, we're going to get you there so that you can go on your trip. And so, you know, just the fact that knowing that the possibility that he's going to be able to get up and go on his trip, you can see the positive light on his face. And we're hoping that's going to have a really good impact. And we're definitely getting him there. So, you know, he's going to be able to go on that trip and have those memories. And that's going to improve his overall quality of life and his care in general. And so happiness and mental health. Self-compassion can prevent harmful self-talk and self-blame, and mindfulness can relieve people from stressful thoughts of pain and sickness by bringing them into their present moment. So people constantly thinking about what they're going through, bringing them back into the moment so that they realize that their life may not be as bad in the moment. And if they dwell in the good and the optimistic parts of it, then things can be better. All right, so we'll take a quick break and we'll get a little closer to what happiness and health. So we'll be back on the Doctor's Inn with me, Dr. Dinoz Roger Cartwright, in a moment.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's Funeral Industry Partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
Always on the go? Missed a show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Dr. Dinothra Archer Cartwright. We're on 96.9 Guardian Radio. I think we're having some technical difficulties. I tend not to be able to hear what's going on the actual radio. And so we're just going to go from there. And so for those of you, and I promise I will pick up your call this time, 323-6232, 325-4316. 325-4259 if you want to join in. It's an open line, so we're taking other questions and queries again tonight, but we're talking about happiness and what being happy does for your health and how do we get there. So happiness, as we talked about, is the meaning and the purpose of life and the whole aim and end to our human existence. The ancient Greek philosopher Aristotle said these words more than 2,000 years ago, and they're still ringing true today. Happiness is a broad term that describes the experience of positive emotions such as joy, contentment, and satisfaction. Emerging research shows that being happier doesn't just make you feel better, but it actually brings a host of potential health benefits. This article, and we're looking at the Healthline, one of my favorite places to look for just kind of information on specific topics, kind of outlines this, of course. So they talk about being healthy and promoting that as a part of our lifestyle adjustments and habits and making it a really important part of healthcare. Healthier diets, higher intake of fruits, vegetables, and whole grains. So this comes with an entire lifestyle. And more than 7,000 adults in a particular study were found that positive well-being were 47% more likely to consume fresh fruits, vegetables than their less positive counterparts. So just being happy, you're going to be making better decisions. So diets rich in fruits and vegetables have constantly been associated with a range of health benefits, including lower risk of diabetes, stroke, and heart disease. In the same study with those 7,000 adults, researchers found that individuals with a positive well-being were 33% more likely to be physically active with 10 or more hours of physical activity per week. So regular physical activity helps to build strong bones, increases energy, decreases body fat, and lowers blood pressure. So just have a good a positive attitude and be happy, and it is going to improve your lifestyle changes. What's more, being happy also improves sleep habits and practices, which is important for concentration, productivity, exercise performance, and maintaining a healthy weight. So attitude and practices all related to each other. Another study looked at over 700 adults and found that sleep problems, including trouble falling asleep and difficulty staying asleep, were 47% higher in those who reportedly had low levels of positive well-being. That said, in 2016, a review of over 44 different studies concluded that while there appears to be a link between positive well-being and sleep outcomes, we still need some further research on that particular area. So being happy may help promote a healthier lifestyle. Studies show that happier people are more likely to eat healthy diets and engage in physical activity. It also appears to boost the immune system, as we touched on earlier in the show. So healthy immune systems are important to our overall health. As we can see, we just came through the crazy pandemic and everything like that. And so our immune systems were front and center in this particular aspect. And so our attitudes also play, because we really don't know why some people got a lot sicker than others, other than the risk factors. We still have people who had multiple comorbidities that still did well with viral illness. And so this may help reduce your risk of developing colds and chest infections. One study in over 300 healthy people looked at the risk of developing a cold after individuals were given cold virus nasal drops. So the least happy people were amongst three times more likely to develop the common cold than their happy counterparts. And this may be a part of what we talked about, that positive outlook, because maybe the people who didn't have a really good outlook expected to get sick and were waiting for it, whilst those who were both optimistic and happy were just like, you know, I'm not going to get the cold. So that really shows like a really three times more likely to get sick just based on attitude alone. In another study, research gave 81 university students a vaccine against hepatitis B, a virus that attacks the liver. Happier students were nearly twice as likely to have a high antibody response and a sign of a stronger immunity post. The effects of happiness on the immune system are not completely understood, but it may be due to the impact of happiness on the activity of the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis, or the HPA, which regulates your immune system, your hormones, digestion, and your stress levels all in one. What's more, happy people are more likely to take part in healthy promotional behaviors that play a role in your system strong. These include healthy eating, as we talked about, and physical activity. So being happy may keep your immune system strong, which can help you fight off the common cold and chest infections. Can happiness help combat stress? Being happy is also found to be a stress reliever. So normal excess stress can cause an increase in your cortisol levels and a hormone that contributes to many of the harmful effects of stress, including disturbed sleep, weight gain, type 2 diabetes, and high blood pressure. So a number of studies that we looked at were able to demonstrate that cortisol levels tend to be lower when people are happier. In fact, one study in over 200 adults participants showed that a series of stressful lab-based tasks found that the cortisol levels of the happiest individuals was 32% lower than those of the unhappy participants. These effects appeared to persist over time, and when research followed up with the same group of adults 3 years later, there was a 20% difference in cortisol levels between the happiest and the least happiest people. So even over a long period of time, those who were happy, even though that they were impacted by the same stressful situations, they continued to produce less cortisol, which is a negative hormone in their body, and went on to have both healthier and happier lives. So stress increased levels of the hormone cortisol, which can cause weight gain, disturbed sleep, and high blood pressure. But happy people tend to produce low levels of that particular hormone. That's really good to know. Can happiness protect your heart? Happiness may protect your heart by reducing your blood pressure, a major risk factor for heart disease. A study of over 6,500 individuals over the age of 65 found that positive well-being was linked to a 9% reduction. Happiness may also reduce the risk of heart disease, the biggest cause of death worldwide. And we're hearing a lot about heart disease lately. And so heart disease is definitely one of the biggest killers. It's always been kind of at the top of what causes death in the world. And we're also hearing a lot about a lot of younger people who are having heart disease, heart attacks, and these types of problems. A number of studies, and, you know, we just came out of a very stressful period, and that may be a part of it. And that's why it's key to regain our happiness even after stressful times in our life. So a number of studies have shown that being happy is associated with 13 to 26% lower risk of heart disease. One long-term study of over 1,500 adults found that happiness helps protect against heart disease. Happiness was associated with 22% lower risk over a 10-year study period, even after the risk factors were accounted for, such as age, cholesterol levels, and blood pressure. So definitely, happiness seems to be a factor even in how well your heart does. It also appears that happiness helps protect people who already have heart disease. So there's hope for you even if you already have a chronic illness. A systemic review of 30 studies found that the greater positive well-being in adults with established heart disease lower their risk of death by 11%. It is also important to note that these effects may have been due to an increase in heart-healthy behaviors such as physical activity, avoiding smoking, and healthy eating habits. So basically, the link here is that because they took a happy, more positive approach, even though they had heart disease, it did lead to them being more proactive with their health, leading to better outcomes for these patients. And that is not happiness and heart disease. Some studies also find that they didn't find an association, but that's why we need more research, more higher quality, well-designed research in this particular area. So we need to take it a little bit more seriously. So being happy can help lower your blood pressure, which may decrease the risk of heart disease. However, we need to do more research to really find out more. But it's better to take a better and positive outlook than to take a negative one. We talk a lot about the length of life and expectancy and being happy, just helping you to live a lot longer. Just a few more studies that kind of look into that. Some long-term studies published in 2015 looked at the effect of happiness on survival rates in over 32,000 people. What they found was that the risk of death over a 30-year period was 14% higher in unhappy individuals compared to their counterparts. A larger study of the association between positive well-being and longevity in both healthy people and those with pre-existing health conditions, such as heart disease and those persons also with kidney disease. So these people had a higher positive well-being was found to have more favorable effects on their survival, reducing their risk of death by 18% in healthy people and by 2% in those with pre-existing diseases. So you start your happiness before you get sick. That's basically what it's saying. So how happiness may lead to greater life expectancy is not always well understood. But happier people live longer. That's just the end of it. And this may be because they engage in the healthy behaviors that we talked about. How does that also affect pain? We touched on this a little bit, and we're just going to go into a little bit more detail on may it help reduce pain. So arthritis, like the gentleman that I spoke about earlier, is a common condition that involves inflammatory and degenerative joints that you may have. So that's like the knees and the shoulders, and those places are usually large joints where you get a lot of the arthritis. So it's really painful, it causes stiff joints, and it generally worsens over time. So a number of studies have found that high positive well-being may reduce pain and stiffness associated with the condition. Being happy may also improve physical functioning in people with arthritis. So a study looked at 1,000 people who had painful arthritis, and they looked specifically for those who had it rough. And what they found was that happier individuals walked an extra 711 steps each and every day, 8.5% more than their less happy counterparts. Happiness may also help reduce pain in other conditions. A study of also with about 1,000 people in it recovering from stroke found that the happiest individuals had 13% pain rating after 13% lower pain rating after 3 months of leaving the hospital. Researchers have suggested that happier people may have lower pain ratings because their positive emotions broaden their perspective, encouraging new thoughts and ideas. They believe that they may help people build effective coping strategies that reduce their perception of pain. And so if you think positively day in and day out, that does tend to change your perspective on life and change your perspective on health and even chronic disease. So being happy may reduce the perception of pain. It appears to be particularly effective in chronic pain conditions such as arthritis. So other ways being happy may make you healthier. A small number of studies linked happiness to other health benefits. And while these early findings are promising, you still need further studies to look into it. But it's really, really interesting. And so happiness may reduce frailty. Frailty is a condition characterized by a lack of strength and balance. A study in 1,500 elderly patients found that the happiest individuals had a 3% lower risk of frailty over a 7-year period. And so we as doctors, we look at the concept of frailty, and we look at the fact that if people are frail, they're more likely to succumb to their health. And so we like to reduce this concept of frailty. And so happier patients tend to be less frail. It may also be protective against strokes. A stroke occurs when there is a disturbance in blood flow to the brain. And studies have shown that adults with positive well-being have a lower risk of stroke by 26%, right? 26%. And that's pretty good. So being happy may have some other potential benefits for your health, and this includes reducing the risk of frailty and stroke. However, further research, of course, is needed to just back up some of these concepts. So how do we increase our happiness? How do we find that bit of joy in life despite everything that may be happening around us? Being happy doesn't just make you feel better, it is increasingly beneficial to your health. And so we're going to talk about 6 scientifically proven ways to be happier. That's how we're going to end our show. So number one, one of my favorites, expressions of gratitude. You can increase your happiness by focusing on things that you are grateful for. So one way to practice gratitude is to write 3 things you are grateful for at the end of each day. So that's a really good way, and it's really, really simple. So even if you had a terrible day, think about 3 things that were positive and all of that. And you want to write those down, and you just want to make the universe aware how grateful you are. Also, getting active. We talked about aerobic exercise, a really effective type of exercise in increasing happiness. Walking or playing tennis won't just be good for your physical health, it will also help boost your mood. Right? So it also would help boost your mood. The other one is get a good night's rest. And you heard me talk quite often about how important sleep is to your body, to your physical, mental, everything. So getting a good night's rest, lack of sleep can have a negative effect on your happiness. And you know, even some people, they wake up pretty cranky if they don't get their sleep. So if you struggle with falling asleep or staying asleep, then check out, speak with your doctor, speak with your counselor, but get some information on sleep. And it's one of the things that we do in the clinic. We talk about sleep hygiene. And so you can reach out to your physician of choice. But sleep hygiene is going to be a really important concept if you're trying to improve your quality of sleep. So getting a good night's sleep can just that. Spending time outside. I feel like we are really, really busy these days. We're surrounded by sunshine, and see how much of that the average human really gets. I'm not sure, but getting outside, head outside for a walk, go to the park, go do some gardening, get your hands dirty, be a part of the earth. So it takes as little as 5 to 10 minutes to go outside, exercise, and just improve your mood. I felt really good the other day. We took the kids somewhere so that they could use their Christmas presents. And so I bought one of those little, those things that the kids hold on to and they like scoot on it for my daughter. And she's really excited to use that. We're also trying to get her to ride her bike a bit more without training wheels. So her big bike. And so we all went out. I bought myself a bike as well. So I went back to being a kid and I rode my bike, and it was really, really fun. And so we don't really do these things anymore, but they're so great to get outside, spend some time with the kids and everything. So that's a really good one to improve your mood. Meditate. So regular meditation. And for those of you who are more spiritually minded, that may be prayer or something like that. But meditating can increase happiness and also provide a host of other benefits, including reducing your stress, and also in helping to improve with your sleep. And of course, something that is a thread of most of our ways to a healthy lifestyle, of course, is eating a healthier diet. So eating your fruits, eating your vegetables, the happier you will be. So by eating more fruits and vegetables, you'll improve your health and your longevity in a sense. And this will be a long-term thing that you incorporate into the rest of your life, and it helps you to be happier. So basically, there are a number of ways you can use to increase your happiness: getting active, expressing gratitude, eating fruits and vegetables, and all those other things to improve your mood. So you don't need to get rich overnight or, you know, win the lottery. You can do very little things, little tiny little things in your everyday life that just makes you just that little bit happier. It takes away some of your stress without having to do anything major. So scientific evidence suggests that being happy may have major, major benefits for your health. For starters, being happy promotes a healthy lifestyle. It may also combat stress. It boosts your immune system and protects your heart and reduces pain. What's more, it may even increase your life expectancy. So while further research is needed or required to understand how these effects really, really work, there is absolutely no reason why you can't stop prioritizing happiness today. Focus on the things that make you happy, and it will not only improve your life, it may also extend your life. So that is all we have today. We hope that you are a little bit happier after listening to the show. And I want to thank you all for listening in on a Tuesday evening with me, Dr. Dinodra Archer Cartwright, and of course, brought to you by Medical Concierge Services for all your healthcare needs, for all your primary care needs. And don't forget, we're still signing up persons for NHI. We do have a few more spots. So you give us a call, 326-1521 or 432-4010. That's our WhatsApp line. So yeah, I thought that was a really interesting show. It was something that really, and I too am working on, you know, just making every day happy. You have your days that are up and days that are down, but try to make all of those days happy days as much. You'll have more happy days than unhappy days. So thank you for listening to the show, and I'll see you next week, Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. on Guardian Radio 96.9 with me, Dr. D. The doctor is in. Good night.